And it's Sunday, June 13th. And first of all, we're going to start off with a happy birthday to Jason Spezza, who turns 38 years
Yay!
Old. So happy birthday, Spezza.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. And actually, a belated birthday to Zach Hyman, too. Mm-hmm. His birthday was on June the 9th. And I'm guessing the Leafs don't put any more, because they didn't put anything for Hyman and they haven't put anything for Spezza, but they don't put any posts for people, I guess, that aren't under contract anymore. I don't know. That's the only thing. They didn't say anything for happy birthday to either of the
players. I thought they saw something for Spezza today, but anyway, but I don't know.
Other people have.
Oh, okay.
But I haven't seen anything from the Leafs. I haven't seen anything from the Leafs. But anyhow, we like to celebrate our players, whether they're, well, we're hoping both will be back, but we'll be getting into that soon. So it's been just over 2 weeks now since the Leafs were knocked out of the first round of the playoffs. For me, it's still stinging a bit. And some of that obviously is because the Habs somehow managed to come out of the Canadian division and are going to face Vegas in the semifinals. I just thought it was just funny that the issue came up again about cheering for the last Canadian team in the playoffs, and I really don't get it. You can cheer however you like, because on Facebook and on our Twitter, we have had some comments of people saying, like, you should be cheering for the last Canadian team and all that, and I've just replied back saying, sorry, like, we don't go that way. If you consider yourself a loyal fan of a team and your team is out of the playoffs, like, why would you choose to cheer for another team? Like, it's, and especially in this case, it's an original six rival. And yeah, I just don't get it. You don't cheer for another Canadian team. It's not about,
no, it's not the Olympics.
It's not about Team Canada.
It's not the Olympics.
Here. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what the...
It's the NHL.
Exactly.
Right?
If you're going that way, then, you know, everyone should be cheering for Vegas because they have the most... They have more Francophone players on their team. So, in this next round. Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, including Marc-Andre Fleury, which I do find it's hilarious that his parents say... See, this is how deep it goes. His parents say they're actually divided and it's really hard for them to cheer for their son right now because they're diehard fans. So they actually have it in the back of their mind that, yes, we want to cheer for our son, but it's hard. They said that. So, yeah.
Wow.
So,
yeah, that's that's crazy.
100%. Yeah. Like, I am with you on that. And, like, I actually, you know, this week when they lit up the CN Tower in Hab colors, that was just the last straw for me, because I know that probably it's because Pierre Trudeau, God, that's a throwback. Justin Trudeau is obviously a Hab fan and he runs our country. Yeah. So the CN Tower, yes, it's a landmark in Toronto, but it's a Canadian landmark. So I think it's owned by the Fed. So
it's
no doubt
federal,
they're
apparently
lighting it up those colors. Like,
I didn't see
them light up the CN Tower in Ottawa Senators colors when they went to the final. Do you remember that happening?
No. No, that's true, too.
So
yeah,
that's
you're
interesting.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm 100% with you. In fact, I haven't even been able to bring myself to watch any games. Like, this has killed my, like, normally I'm able to sort of get over it a little bit, and my love for hockey prevails, and I manage to still, you know, want to watch. But this year, it's dead. It's all dead to me right now. I just don't have the desire. I don't want to watch. I might watch the final if Montreal's not there, but, like, right now, while they're, and the other, on the flip side, the fact that the Islanders are in also, and I hear that they stole our winning song or whatever, our goal song. That's making me a little sick too. And it makes me wonder, like, did John Tavares make some kind of deal with the devil when he was little? And now he's, like, completely screwed because I don't understand it. It's like so crazy. You know, you've got this perfect story. Either that or the hockey gods for the Leafs are somehow saying, oh, yeah, you think you look cute in your bedding there, Johnny boy? So sad, too bad. There's so many demons here that even that beautiful moment cannot override. So I don't know. It's very odd.
One last thing on this, but with all like the way you're saying, everything seems to be going against us as usual in the hockey gods. But I did see a tweet. Apparently in the next, I think it's in the next 2 weeks. I know it's coming up soon, that our Stanley Cup draught, we're going to be the longest in NHL history coming up in 2 weeks.
Well, maybe that's what we need.
Yes, that's the, I was thinking, as I saw that, I was like, that's going to be the epitome of it, or epiphany, whatever, to say, okay, that's the last thing. Once everybody recognizes that and it's all over Twitter and everything, then it's going to happen for us. Things are going to change. So that's the way
that's kind of what happened for the New York Rangers
We're going to pass the Rangers, basically.
So when they won, they were the longest at that time. Right?
Yeah.
So, Well, other than teams that had never won, I guess, which I guess there's still teams in the league that have never won. But at that time, they would have been the longest, even because that 67 would have been when those new teams came in. So they were the longest. And interestingly, Shanahan played for that team. So anyway, we're getting a little bit into some of the things that have happened in the week since, but maybe that's what we need, you know, that, you know, being the sad sack team that hasn't won in forever. But I mean,
we'll see. Anyways, that's one thing I thought of on somewhat positive or sad note. But on a more positive note, we do want to congratulate, changing it up a bit, Taya Curry, a goaltender who is the first female ever chosen in the NHL draft. I was like,
that's fantastic. But, I was really happy to be talking about this. And this is a bright light in some of the changes that may be coming down the pipe. So good development for her. Regardless of which league she ultimately ends up playing in. So unfortunately, there is not much for us to celebrate for our Leafs yet again. At the end of this season, we normally like to talk about our grading and the grades that we give the players and the teams. But there's not much you can say after an A+ season when you fail your exams. So on that note, we're going to talk about the messages that came out of Shanahan, Keefe, and Dubas, as well as some of the player comments from the end of season media availability. And of course, there are a lot of big decisions for Leafs going into the offseason, so we'll get into some of those questions that need to be addressed before the drop of the puck in October. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
Okay, so the end of season media availability. So the last couple of seasons, Shanahan and Dubas have been preaching patience, and once again, that's what they're doing. The message from both of them is the same, that we will win with this group, and they both gave their endorsements of the core four. So it seems to me these two guys are sticking to this group of the four, main four players, and they believe in them so much that they're going to basically go down with the ship if things don't work out with this group and with this philosophy. But do you still believe in this philosophy still of Shanahan and Dubas in sticking with this group?
Okay, so I thought a lot about this question, and I actually do. But my thing is I'm not really 100% sure that the players do. They have been brought in and, they've been asked to play a certain way. And obviously we see that they can execute that. But they also have grown up with different messaging throughout their hockey careers from every level that this is not the way you win. So I kind of wonder, because what I see is when push comes to shove, they abandon their game somewhat. You know, they don't.
Right.
So whether that's losing the mental edge or whatever, but that could be where the mental edge is lost, is that deep down inside, they don't 100% believe that this is the way to win. So that's what they need to work on, because I do think that if everybody is pulling on the same rope and they really, really throw mm-hmm. themselves into this, I think it can be done. But the problem is, I wonder if subconsciously or whatever, if these players really believe that they can win this way. Because to me, that's maybe where they're losing their edge, is that they kind of get, you know, pushed a little, and then they don't keep pushing back with their game. They try to shift into yeah. something else that is not them. Do you know what I mean? Because
yeah.
But they're not built that yeah. way. So then they can't do it. So do you know what I mean? That's kind of, I don't know if that makes sense, but that's what I wonder.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's 3 years now. I guess next year is going to be 4 years with Kyle Dubas, I guess, as GM. And I don't know. When Willie signed, I'll get to your comment in a second, sort of. But when Willie signed that contract, like, I thought we were in trouble at that time. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it worked out well now, let's just say. But at that time, I just thought that, and most people did, they were running him out of town back then. It was the same situation as Mitch Marner is right now, or maybe not quite as bad as now, but like last season. But you convinced me, and that at that time, I'm saying it was you that convinced me to believe in this Kyle Dubas and what he has planned. Right. When we were going to games and everything and talking about it, you seemed to be more positive. So I kind of took that on, saying, OK, well, and this whole we can and we will philosophy that they've been preaching for three seasons now, like to believe in that. So that's fine. I did. And I said last year after the bubble thing in Columbus, I said last year I'm going to give them one more year. And then after that, I think I said they need to change this core group. And what you're saying, the way you're saying, if one of that group or a few players, maybe not of that group, I don't know, like if they don't believe in that they can do this system and win, then to me, you got to get rid of those players. They've had 3 years now with the main core. You got to get rid of one, at least one. If it's the core four, you got to get rid of one of them. But for now, I'm willing to give them, like I said it last year, it's like we keep giving them one more year. But I mean, I got it on a podcast now, so it's out here. I'll give them one more year to figure it out and shuffle the deck chairs, as they've been saying. And for me, what I'm concerned about is that now that with this pandemic, like it doesn't seem that Kyle Dubas and company or Shanahan and company are adapting well to the times of this flat salary cap. Mm-hmm. Like they're not adapting to it. But I don't know. I'm willing to give them one more year. So with this philosophy of being so top heavy mm-hmm. and, but that's it.
Well,
yeah. So,
I mean, for me, I 100% that give, but I think you are right to give them one more year, because honestly, this last year and a half, whatever it is, it's not even a full 2 years. Put it right there, like just looking at it that way.
Yes.
So
yeah,
I would like to see them have one, you know, as close to proper regular season as possible. Also, I kind of feel like one of the things that I was worried about in the beginning of this season came to fruition was their lack of adversity throughout the season, because it's really hard to basically fly through a regular season with not much adversity and then have to ramp it up, you know, all of a sudden.
Well, I don't think they've had enough adversity over 4 years now. Well,
that if you're not tested in the regular season, I know from experience playing in a league, you know, as a field hockey player, okay, I'm not an NHL caliber player and it was high school field hockey. However, you know, sports is sports And I had a season where our team was undefeated and I let in one goal through the whole season. That's it. Mm-hmm. And we were expected to win everything. And we did win our first round matchup. So we've got that on the Leafs. However, we got killed in the second round and it was like totally devastating because we were like, what the heck happened? Because the team that beat us was somebody we beat up on all season long. So the brain is a funny thing. And I'm saying that their problem is not on the ice. It's not with their skill. It's in their head, all of it.
Oh yeah, no, it's definitely in their heads. We've mentioned that before. Mm-hmm. But
let's go on to the next one. So then our next question, my question to you then, based on what I just said then is, do you think there's a bit of a country club atmosphere coming back into the organization? Is there some blue and white disease still lingering that they can't quite scrub out of the dressing room?
Yeah, I'm starting to think that actually, just from I guess the repetitiveness of the words, like learning the lessons and the patience, obviously. But if you think about it, I guess this is Shanahan's first gig as a president and alternate governor of a team. Like, it's not like he came here with so much experience. He was previously working with the NHL, but he's never run a team before. So he's going to be going into his eighth season next year with this Shanahan plan. And I mean, they have the season ticket base locked up as usual. And there's a major lineup for tickets. Like, if you give up your tickets, you know, somebody else is going to be right there taking them. Like, there's no problem that way. And the ticket cost is amongst the highest in the league. We know that too. And like, what do they really have to worry? They don't really have anything to worry about. Like when you think of it, after Shanahan's been here a few years, he understands. You could tell in his media availability in the end there, like he knows being from here. He knows the whole deal about the pain and suffering that the fan base has taken. So I mean, I'm not questioning that, but I don't know that he realizes, like, it's going to be 8 years now or going into his eighth year. And, I mean, I don't know. I just don't get this group of players too. Like, that they know if this team were to win, I mean, even now to be around, like, it would be insane if we won a round in the playoffs. But if we actually got to the Stanley Cup finals, like, it would just be madness, I think, in this city. And these players, like, do they not get, like, what, like, the appreciation that they would get and all the endorsements and everything from that? Like, I just don't get in their minds, like, and it, obviously more money is coming, would come from that. And is that not enough motivation for these players and just the organization in general, like, to be ready at puck drop for every playoff game? Like, to me, that's the part I just don't get. And then that's where I'm thinking with the country club atmosphere, like, I'm just thinking, well, maybe they just don't want that extra, they don't want that extra money or notoriety. They're just content with just being a Leaf and everybody talking about them all the time anyways, and being the center of the hockey universe, and they just go on. So
well,
I don't know.
I don't know if I see it as entitlement. I don't see that they feel that they're entitled. It's not kind of like that Muskoka 5 thing where they're all. However, there is a little bit of that, because then you see that picture with like Bogosian and Marner in the pool all smiling and happy. I mean, that's a snapshot in a moment in time, but, you know, should he still be crying this week? I don't know. But what I do think is I think that they are too shielded. They are too insulated from everything. They are so protected that I don't think, how can they possibly get it? Because they don't have to face it ever. You know, the players that we grew up with, they had to face it at the bar right after the game. They had to face it when they're in the eating center or going out
to
eat.
Yes.
They had to face it in the newspaper. But even now, you know, one bad headline and they're like all, you know, protecting them like there's no tomorrow and blackballing media members. Not that I like Steve Simmons, because I don't. I'm not a fan of his, and I think, you know, he does push things, you know, down some. I just don't like his takes. Chances.
Yeah, he crosses the line.
He does cross the line. You know, the press are allowed to ask what they want to ask, but they are like dogs protecting their little, you know, puppies. You know, it's like, you know, they like, and that I think does lend itself to being mentally strong. Because if you don't
going back to
flex
that,
those muscles on how to get over that, and, you know, they are too insulated. That's what I see more than the entitlement part, personally.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, another question for you then. With Keefe, you know, in his end of season comments, he admitted that he needs to be better at putting players in better positions to score, matchups, ice time, all of that. So, what do you think needs to change or be different there?
Yeah. I mean, I just remember too, at the, I don't know if we said it on the show, but I remember we were talking about it and it was mentioned that maybe he should, like, he needs a little bit of help, like behind the bench that's more experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then it was almost like, I think it was you that were saying, like, you don't want to have a more experienced coach because he might think, or not you, Bibi, I don't know who it was. It was somebody that I heard at the time, this is before the season started, saying like, maybe it's not such a good idea to have a more experienced guy because then he's going to, like, Keefe is going to think like he's out the door sort of thing, right? Like, once, if you have somebody like Bruce Boudreau in there, or even Dan Bylsma, he's been he's still a candidate out there. But I mean, we're, for me, he's, as long as Kyle Dubas is there, like, that's his pick, Sheldon Keefe, after Babs left, like, Sheldon Keefe was there. I just don't think that, I do think he needs somebody more experienced with him right there, because I'm not sure what Paul McLean is doing. We asked this in one of our shows too. I know he's the eyes in the sky, but maybe, or maybe he needs to be right there behind the bench during it, during the game.
Like, what about Hextall? Hextall's supposedly got more
experience. I thought of that too. I thought of that too. He was the head coach of the Philly. But I just think that we kind of, or we underestimated a little bit, like, the transition. Like, he's never, Keefe has never coached in the NHL.
That's
and
true.
Even more so now because of this pandemic, it's even worse.
Yeah.
Like, the experience, it just, and the fact, like you said, he admitted that he needs to be better at putting players in a better position to score, and the ice time and all that. Well, it's like, we're not learning here. Like, you need to be up on this. You're not supposed, you, you should know what the matchups are, like, and be able to make those decisions in game, right? It's not something that it's, you're learning behind the bench as a coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. So yeah, I think it would be good to have somebody, if it's not Dave, if, I don't know what, if Dave Hextall is, like, maybe he's not the right kind of guy for that, or change. I don't know that they're so happy with Manny Malhotra either, because that was a being in charge of the power play, and it was a bit of a disaster that way.
Yeah, but the thing is, and this is one thing that Keefe talked about, is that he mentioned that 2 years in a row now they had the top power play in the league, and then they then they lost it. And that's with two different people coordinating it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So then, how do you blame Malhotra for that? Because he wasn't the guy that that was, you know, coordinating it the year before. So obviously, again, I think that goes back to that mental game. When push comes to shove, the players can't adapt. So they mentally are not adapting when
which means you. You got to change something then, like, of those players, of that group of players, you got to change something. I mean, now that's, let's say, 2 years in a row, like you're saying. Next year, one more year I'm giving them, and that's it.
Well, what I'm going to be looking for when we're talking about that, because then you look at what the Raptors did, right? Like, who's our, and I've heard other people talking about this, who's our DeMar DeRozan? So is Marner our DeMar DeRozan? I'm going to be looking over the course of the summer. Who is the one? Who are the people that take it up another notch? Now, I'm never going to look to Austin for this, because every year he adds something to this, his game. And so I want to see, like, is Mitch going to take another step? What is he going to work on? If he's still going to be working on his shot or whatever, I'm not sure that's what we need. I think that he needs to be doing something more for his head. And whether that's studying, whether that's reading more, whether that is, you know, honestly, if I were them, like I would, if I was the organization, guess what? I'd be taking a selection of those players and sending them down to Navy SEALs boot camp and seeing who makes the cut and who can finish that. Honestly, this is the kind of stuff they need. They need to be going through Navy SEALs.
They should be hiring you
and seeing who has the medal to get through that. And those are the guys that you keep.
Yeah.
Then you would know for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So with the players, I guess the players' comments, was there anything that caught your attention from their media availability?
Back to what I was talking about a second ago. I didn't think before when we were discussing this pre-show who stood out to me. But as I was thinking about it just now, somebody did stand out to me, and that was Austin, because one of the things that he mentioned pretty much in every answer was the mental aspect. So we know that every summer
he came right up. He was the only one. He's the only one that came up.
Every summer he goes home and he does something for his game. So one year he worked on his one timer. The next year he did something else working on his shot. Last year he got into shape physically. So I guarantee you he is going to be working with probably a sports coach or sports psychologist to get his head better. So he's the person that I'm looking to see whether he makes good on his comments, but he's really the only one who talked about the mental aspect.
Yeah. Yeah.
And other than that,
for me it was,
go ahead. You say who it is.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
So for me, it was Jake Muzzin, and his comments being a Stanley Cup winner with LA, and he basically, his quote was that teams that go the farthest play the hardest, and it's hard to play that way. And we can't be easy to play against, or we won't go far in the playoffs.
So that kind of brings me back to what I said before about whether the players really believe that they can win this way, because that comment says to me that I don't know if he really believes that they can. But anyways, go on.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's gone through it, obviously, with that LA team. And he was on the team. I'm sure that he was on the one that was get in the playoffs, right? They were the bottom.
They were Montreal, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And then, so interesting, though, that I found, though, after last season, after the playing Columbus, Muzzin said this after the Leafs eventually, on whether or not the Leafs will eventually find playoff success. And he said, the will to win has to burn a little hotter. Once we find that, we'll be dangerous. So that was last year that he said that. And I thought to myself, okay, the will to win has to burn a bit hotter. And that came back to me about the whole country club atmosphere. Like I was like tying it all together, right? That will to win, or the killer instinct, I guess, too. I thought of that too, the whole words of killer instinct. I'm like, okay, well, you didn't have it last year in Columbus. Now, again, with his words here, it's hard to play that way, and the teams that go the farthest play the hardest. You still haven't got it. Like, that's playing hard. It's part of the will, too.
Yeah, but then my thing with him is, though, you also need to be on the ice to be able to win. And 2 years in a row, in a very, very bad spot, he ends up being injured. So maybe his will to win or playing hard, maybe he's playing too hard.
Yeah.
And he's then a liability, because I think that if he was still on the ice, we would have probably won that game 7. So there's also that. Inopportune injuries.
Or he would, or if we would have won the game, he got injured in game 6, right?
Yeah.
Right. It was game 6. Yes.
So we could have won that game.
We could have won that game and he wouldn't have got hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I just think that was his comments, though, coming from a past Stanley Cup winner. Mm-hmm. Like I read a lot into it and connecting like the whole killer instinct and the country club atmosphere and all that. I just thought that he, you can read between the lines with what he said. And yeah, but let's go on to the next part here with the questions and the decisions that need to be made with this Leafs team before the drop of the puck in October. Mm-hmm. So starting with the biggest UFA signing with that we have being Zach Hyman.
Yeah.
Should we and will we sign him?
You want me to answer that one? I mean, there's no question that we should. And I really think, too, that he wasn't 100% yet. And if he didn't get hurt, things could have all been different. I mean, there is some luck that you need to have. And some things just didn't bounce our way towards the end there. But yes, we should, because, God, we need that guy. Like, he is basically the epitome of what we want to see on this team. You know, will we? That's a question. I mean, obviously the rumors out there that there is a $5 million offer that was rejected, that they say that's not true, but,
did they say that?
I didn't hear that. Yeah. But his agent says that that was not actually true. So who knows, but, I'm hoping they can get something done. It will take maybe a little bit of a hometown discount, but you know he's not going to get the same. Like, is Sokolov injury lawyers going to still you know let him be doing commercials here? I mean, he's always going to be able to write his books, no doubt. But will people buy more books from him as a Maple Leaf, or will they buy more books from him as a Carolina Hurricane?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not saying that's where he would go, but you know what I mean? Like, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we should. I think everybody in Leafs Nation thinks we should sign him, and I do too. But I have a feeling it's not going to get done. I don't know. I've just been hearing some stuff just out of media reports. And I guess we have to remember he is 29 years old
that's
now.
True.
And he's coming off of two knee injuries now off of the same knee.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's wanting like north of 5 million, higher than 5 million, I don't think we can do it. There's just
no. It's got to be in that 4 to 5.
Yeah.
Range.
I mean, he's exactly what we need, bringing the heart and soul, like hometown player, obviously, type of player. He deserves every penny he can get too. Because like no one else took a hometown discount.
Right.
So we won't mention names.
Mm-hmm.
So why should he?
True.
Right. Like I would have no problem with him going after the money.
Yeah. Especially when you see that, you know, at the time I wasn't really much for this comparable, but if you look at what Braden Point is doing right now.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Enough said. Yeah.
So
I know it's, and that's the sad thing because like we didn't draft him. The Leafs didn't draft him, but they did develop him. And I don't really see that we have anything in our organization in the AHL that is comparable to him right now that could take a step, you know?
Yeah. No, we don't, but
I don't know who that would be that would take that spot. Anyway,
yeah.
But other than that, I mean, like one UFA that we didn't mention there is that, and does this mean that you are completely over the fact or just resigned to the fact that Anderson is not going to be on our team next year?
Yeah, well, we have the goal. Let's get into the goalie thing. Since you mentioned it first, we'll go down I had the goalie question in there. Mm-hmm. Let me just find it here in our notes. But yeah, what to do in goal with Jack Campbell carrying the load. But yes, one Frederik Andersen, I guess the way they handled him coming back, like, and he didn't get I thought that he would be given more of an opportunity to start in the playoffs, just even one game.
Yeah.
But they didn't. And so that basically gave me the 100% to say, okay, they are fine. They're just going to let him go. But how confident are you I know I'm not very confident still, but in Jack Campbell carrying the load.
I'm not that that confident that he can carry the load. He took some huge strides this year, but I'm not 100% confident that, you know, he's not like super young either. But that is also the reason why I'm not 100% sure that they're completely done with Anderson. And the one thing with Anderson not playing, guess what? He gets none of the blame. Zero blame this year.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So there's something to be said for that. Yeah. Because mentally, he's not wearing any of this. So
no, he's just enjoying his time in Arizona with Austin and Justin Bieber.
So to me, I'm not really sure that he's not coming back, or that he couldn't come back, or that's not still on the table. So, but yeah. If he doesn't, you know, if he comes back, then I see it as a true tandem type of situation where both of them are playing. If he doesn't, then we do need, you know, another, because I don't think David Riddick is not going to be in the plans.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, the thing that I'm. Yeah. I mean, I like Jack Campbell. And for $1.65 million, like,
yeah,
that's
no, you
great
have
for
to
the salary
him.
Cap.
You have to. You have to.
The only thing that I'm worried about is that we have to remember we're going back to the Atlantic Division.
Yep.
So he's going to be playing against Tampa, Florida, and Boston.
That we didn't have as much adversity, and we're going to have a harder road next year, which I think is going to be good for us. But we're going to also see, you know, I think I foresee that there will be some more in-season changes next year also if we don't get off to a good start.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's go back to the other question after Hyman there that we had. Mm-hmm.
Which is of the UFAs, who are we keeping? So we've got Spezza, Simmons, Bogosian, Galchenyuk, Riddick, who I already mentioned, and Thornton. Yeah. So out of that group, who do you think is going to stay?
So I would want to keep Spezza and Bogosian. Mm-hmm. And I only will keep Simmons if he's going to do the league minimum, which I don't think he will.
Right.
But I think, like, after that wrist injury, he just wasn't the same.
100%.
Like, he started off great with us, but after that, he didn't do much, in my opinion. And I like the guy, and he's hometown guy again. But, I mean, unless he's doing league minimum, sorry. It's been nice having you as a Leaf and proud that you wore the jersey. And then also Galchenyuk, I think that we should keep at like less than $1 million. Anyways, mm-hmm. I don't know if he'll go for that or mm-hmm. if other teams might give him more. If they give him more, then see you later. We'll have to do something else because, again, we're top heavy and we're with the salary cap, we're tied.
Yeah.
But I think that I also think when it comes to the UFAs and shuffling the deck chairs that, like, we need to, Dubas needs to be a bit younger in their approach. Like, I don't think
100%.
I don't think the guys like Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner shouldn't need a dad.
Not anymore.
Like, mm-hmm. right. I think the dad thing with Marlowe and Thornton now, I think they're done. They have their own dads that they can celebrate with or talk about or talk things out with. Yeah. They don't need other players in the room. I think they should be fine. Riddick, I don't think we're going to re-sign him. I don't know. There's other goalie possibilities out there. Like one guy that caught my eye just quickly mentioning is this Linus Ullmark in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. He's only 27 years old, mm-hmm. which again, I think is good to be a little bit more younger. And obviously Buffalo was shit, so he had a pretty good record considering. Mm-hmm. So I thought, oh, well, maybe he'll do better on a better team too, mm-hmm. sort of thing, right? So that's one guy. And and I just thought too, with the UFAs, and it was just funny the way none of the Dubas's trade deadline acquisitions, none of them really worked out, like, because obviously, like, Foligno and Riley Nash are both UFAs, but they're probably not going to, I don't think they're going
to
sign here.
No, they'll probably go back to Columbus.
Yeah. Yeah. So, So next we have our third line center position. So it was clear in the, what to do with this third line center. It was clear in the playoffs, we didn't have a strong enough third line that could be a shutdown line and give us some scoring.
Yeah.
What do you think we should be doing there? Because personally, I think Kerfoot is going to be claimed by Seattle.
Probably.
I just have this
one. Yeah.
So, and he was basically our, he kind of went up and down. He played fantastic. Oh, in the he playoffs. Did. He There's a guy great. Who really switched the, yeah. switched the switch there yeah. or whatever, but flick the switch for that. But yeah, I just think he's going to be claimed and, or there's a strong possibility he will. And
yeah, because they have a clean slate. So he may be a yeah. little bit too expensive for a third line center. But he's yeah. They do need to fill their roster. So, you know,
one guy I thought of, I mean, mm-hmm. if they want help for Mitch and all that to actually come back is Bozak.
Oh, yeah. He's available.
And I thought, you know, he was a good Leaf. Like he was a good pro. Babcock used to like said that all the time.
And he's still good on the faceoffs and he's won a Stanley yes. Cup. So he actually checks a lot of
his injuries.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we can manage his injuries, mm-hmm. and he wouldn't be getting top line minutes, but he'd be in the room. And Mitch is already, I mean, he obviously had the good relationship with him as being the centerman, mm-hmm. and JVR was the winger at the time. Yeah. So yeah, that was one guy I just thought of, and as a third line center. And the other guy that I looked up on was this Alexander Wenberg from Florida. Mm-hmm. He's a UFA. Similar to Kerfoot, but he's bigger, mm-hmm. and he's only 20. He's 26. He's the same age, mm-hmm. And he can score, and he plays in the on the penalty kill because mm-hmm. Kerfoot has some PK time too.
Right.
So, we just need somebody in that center position that can, like, we need to get some chemistry there with Mikheyev, I guess, and Engvall, mm-hmm. I guess, as the other winger because. I don't know. I think Mikheyev definitely has to practice his shot in the summertime or do something.
Do you think that, like, we didn't see him enough to really get a good gauge before that injury happened, but do you think that physically, you know, mechanically, that maybe he's never going to get that shot back?
I don't know. I'm not
because of that injury.
There's
a lot of little things that work in that area, right? So what if he never gets it back? What if he can never get that accuracy again?
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. Because he was before that happened. Mm-hmm. He was scoring. Not to say he was at a crazy pace.
Yeah.
But he was on the net. He was getting it was going in for mm-hmm. him. But just the last two seasons after that happened, or season and a half, it's just not. Right. And I don't know.
Maybe they need to just work on his mobility and his wrist. Just still keep working on it because maybe.
And the confidence. He has to get the confidence. Yeah. Like, I think it's definitely confidence there too. Mm-hmm. Like, just to get even like a couple in at the same time, like get on a roll mm-hmm. and then say, okay, maybe you won't score every game, but you know that you can mm-hmm. do it. So,
yeah. Because that guy is a hard worker.
Oh, for sure.
He doesn't.
Otherwise,
he's never slacked off. I've never seen him. Coast out there like he doesn't do that, so we definitely need
no issues
guys
with him.
Like that
no issues with him in that way. Yeah. And what's next?
So the thing that probably we don't want to talk about, which is going into 1 year down the road, but you know, we always have to keep our eyes out a little bit further into the distance, and that is Morgan Rielly coming up as a UFA next season. So he's going into his final year, which, as we have seen, is, you know, that you've got the question, do we re-sign him now within this season, or do we trade him or risk losing him for nothing? So, go.
Yeah. So, I say we re-sign him because mm-hmm. there's just nobody that can take up his ice time playing against top players on the power play, and we can't afford him to lose him for nothing. We cannot have another, like, Dubas basically now has lost Bozak, JVR, Tyson Barry. Now we're going to lose Freddie, possibly Hyman. Like, that's a lot of good players to get nothing.
100%.
You cannot do that again with, let's just say, I don't know if it's a 1A defenseman. Mm-hmm. I guess, right? He's might be not, like, for us, he's a number one, but I guess on another team, like, he's not a Norris caliber trophy mm-hmm. winner. He was that one season, but still, when you're at that level, you cannot afford to let him go for nothing. Mm-hmm. Those other players, I mean, they're all very important players on our team, or were. But still, when you get that as a group, that's a huge loss to get nothing back for all those players.
Oh, definitely. That's something maybe that is not discussed enough, probably, as a criticism. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and I was thinking, I could not, I was looking up, I'm thinking I'm missing a player from that group, but that's the only ones that jumped out in my mind to say that they we got nothing for them. And we cannot do that again with Morgan Riley. And he's a team player. And I'll never forget, said this before, I've said it, where I saw his dad when he got drafted, mm-hmm. and he was so happy. And his dad did the fist pump when he got called up to say that he was chosen the Leafs first round mm-hmm. pick. So he obviously loves being a Leaf. In some ways, he could have been the captain as well. Mm-hmm.
Well, and he, and, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, certain players not taking responsibility. He always does. He's always one of the first to always step up and talk. And, you know, yes, he's definitely one of our team leaders for sure. So I agree that they have to make a clear-cut decision. And honestly, you know, if they want to do something for the fan base, how about you lock up one of these guys a little bit ahead of time, instead of leaving them hanging and us hanging too? I mean,
yeah,
you know,
that's, yeah, exactly.
That's extra anxiety with all the other stuff. You know, not that that really matters to anybody, but you know, just that's, you know, just.
It's just more questions 100%. That are unanswered.
Yes. So just like, take that out of the equation and sign the guy. Or trade him, one or the other, make a
whichever
decision.
One, and yeah,
yes,
and don't leave it and have that possibility that we're gonna lose a top defenseman. Like, no. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
okay. So I think we've pretty much just about covered, you know, our thoughts of how things have ended. But so obviously when it comes to the roster, there is so much more we can talk about leading up to next season. And we can and we will do that later on. So, but for now, we want to leave on a positive note and give our congratulations to Austin Matthews on being nominated for the Hart and the Lady Bing and the Ted Lindsay. And as we all know, he won the Rocket Richard Trophy as the league's top goal scorer. So this is the first time in history that the Leafs have had a player nominated in this many award categories in one season. This has never happened. This is unprecedented, which is like basically the way we've been talking about them all season. So
yeah, it's huge. That's a huge accomplishment. And obviously, like, you want playoff success over individual awards, but if you don't have that individual, where would you be?
And,
you wouldn't
be
in the playoffs.
He actually said that also in his end of season. Somebody brought up the awards, but he said he talked about that too. That
Mm-hmm. But I mean, our team would be nowhere. I would not want to think of a possibility where we didn't draft Austin Matthews. Like, where this team would be, you don't even want to think of it. It would be a nightmare. Mm-hmm. So yes, congratulations. Congratulations to Austin Matthews on being nominated, and hopefully he'll win one of those awards. I mean, I think he has a shot at the Lady Bing
for sure,
more so than he'll probably
get made fun of by the teammates for winning that one though. But anyways, but I mean, I've been looking at that too, like the players he's nominated against. He's the only really top echelon player in that group. So like to do what he has done. And play with the sportsmanship that he does play with, that says a lot, I think. So to me, I think he's a shoo-in.
Yeah. So, so if any of you out there listening to us have any thoughts on what we talked about on the show, you can email email us at ladiestalkingleafs@gmail.com or DM us as well on social media. We're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Our handle is @LTL1917.
And of course, another way to connect with us is at ko-fi.com. You can follow us there. And if you choose to, you can also support us there by buying us a coffee. Any donation goes towards helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. So you can find the link for our ko-fi page on our show notes or in any of our social media profile pages. So actually, I do want to give a shout out to our latest donor, Bob. Bob, thank you so much for supporting our show.
Thank you.
We really, really appreciate it. So,
and as always, we want to thank our healthcare workers and for everything that they continue to do. The numbers are going down, so that's great. They just keep going down. And stay safe and well, everybody. And to all the dads out there listening, have a wonderful Father's Day. And we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Go Leafs, go!